Hi everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of the Cancer Researcher podcast from the European Association for Cancer Research. How exciting is that? In this episode, The Power of a Postdoc, we focus on new beginnings. You know, first podcast episode for the EACR, and for me as a host, first stage in career progression following the completion of a PhD. During this episode, we will discuss how postdoc could shape your career progression in academia. We'll go through the most important criteria one should be paying attention to when choosing a postdoc. Spoiler alert, we might be discussing the choice of doing a postdoc in the US versus Europe. In addition, topics such as life-work balance and career breaks will also be tackled in this episode. I am your host, Dr. Alexandra Boitor, Scientific Officer at the EACR, and a former early career researcher myself. And my guests for this episode are Dr. Yardena Samuels, Professor at the Weizmann Institute of Science in Israel, Director of the Eckhart Institute for Cancer Diagnosis Research and of the Weizmann Brazil Tumor Bank of the Moros Integrated Cancer Center, and our President-elect, so President-elect of the European Association for Cancer Research. And Dr. Elisa Oricchio, Associate Professor at École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne and Director of the Swiss Institute for Experimental Cancer Research. Ardena and Elisa, welcome to this episode of the EACR podcast, and thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for doing that.
For this episode, I propose we take a short trip down memory lane, recollecting our experiences as postdocs and the experience you gained as a PI and supervisor for postdoctoral associates, in order to give some advice to PhD students and entry-level career researchers on how to pick postdoc positions. To get it started, what would you say are the key criteria to follow when choosing a postdoc?
Should I jump in?
Yeah.
So I always think passion for the topic is the most important. You have to choose a subject matter which is very close to your heart and you feel very, very passionate about it, because research is hard enough as it is, most likely to not be successful. So if you don't have the passion there, it's definitely going to be very difficult to push forward with it. So I put that as my top criterion. Lisa, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that the research topic has to be the one that you love the most, because most probably will define your career in the future. So the project that you develop in the postdoc more likely will influence the research that you are going to develop in your lab later on, or the job that you will continue on your career. So I think it definitely is the most important part that you have to be clear about. And then maybe a second point, it's also about in which lab are you going and how to select this lab. And depending on personalities, you can choose a lab with different sites and cities as well. So where you want to do the postdoc has to also fit with your personal life, your choice. That's also something that you want to consider.
Yeah, I agree. Coming back to the topic, though, in addition for it being a passion and a high interest to you, one needs to consider where you're planning to open your own lab, if you are planning to open a lab, and what topics are already being researched there. Because sometimes you need to find a niche which is not yet being researched in your target country or the target institution that you're going to go back to. So one needs to not even think what's happening right now, but what is going to happen in about 3 to 6 years down the line once you're done with the postdoc. So it's a lot of thinking of a few steps ahead. I also believe that it's worth identifying labs where you can learn new cutting-edge technologies, because you can always use those technologies to ask interesting questions of your own. So it doesn't have to be the exact same topic that the lab you went to is researching, as long as you've learned some really good ways of answering research questions in the future. And I agree completely, Lisa. Choosing the right PI with the right environment is key. There has to be chemistry there, not only with the PI, but also with the environment, to feel that the level of competition is right for you, that there's going to be sufficient support system there. And of course, being able to find a balance between work and family or work and personal life I think is very, very important. We always need to remember that this career that we've chosen is a marathon and not a sprint.
Yeah.
We need to maintain our strength long term.
Yeah, that's definitely something to keep in mind because it's a long process. You know? It's not something that it's going to happen really fast, but it takes the stamina to be there.
You mentioned work-life balance. Do you have any advice on how one could achieve that?
Yeah. So would you like to begin?
This is a difficult question because I think all of us face the problem and doesn't have really the solution. It's not a regular job, meaning it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's a job that you take with you all the time. When you go home, you continue to think about your project and then you try to build your life around this because it's really the center of your life. And it's what makes this type of job exciting to do. And it's also what makes interesting. So you have the freedom and you have the challenge to find what is the right time to take a little break and say, okay, now I need it. It takes an extra effort. I think you cannot think that this is just a regular job, but that at least has been my experience.
Yeah, I completely agree. I actually don't see it as a job. It's a way of life. It's part of my identity. And it's like Elisa said, this is not a 9-to-5 job. We take it with us 24/7. And the advantage in that is actually that we don't have to be in the office or in the lab in order to do our job. It could be hiking, you know, doing sports and have a great experimental idea while doing it. So it's actually a big advantage, I think, getting out of the lab and doing other things, whether with friends and family, because that gives the opportunity to think outside of the box and, you know, earn things. So I truly believe that it's important to find that balance. One needs to know how to celebrate, you know, birthdays and special occasions properly and to take those vacations with the family. And not think that it's going to necessarily take away from successful research, because I actually think in the long run it promotes that success. And I advise that to my trainees, that otherwise you burn out as well. And again, like I said, this is not a sprint. We need to keep our strength long term. Mm-hmm. Which means that if we need to get help to be able to follow that up. So in a personal life, say we have children, we start a family, and it's very difficult to find that balance between the two. I truly believe that it's important to go ahead and find help, whether it's from the family or whether it's from babysitting. And even if it's expensive, I think it's a worthwhile investment in order to reduce the worries that we have so that we could focus on the research and to give us, of course, that kind of time to be able to do the research.
On that note, there's a question that's pretty much always been on my mind, and I'm sure that other early career researchers have that question as well. How do you mitigate career breaks?
Yeah, this one, maybe I leave it to you, Adela. I didn't have many career breaks, so I was a bit really focused on try to go from one step to the other. And maybe this is, I won't say a regret, but something that now I say, oh, maybe I should have taken the time to think a little bit more if I had to jump immediately on the next step. But it's something that you go with the flow most of the time.
I mean, they are hard to avoid. I mean, one tries to calculate and plan as much as possible if the career is one of those priorities. And so in my case, I was very calculated in a way, you know, I was, okay, at this point, I still am comfortable to have my first child because I have my first paper in my postdoc and I feel comfortable now combining the two things. Or when I opened my first lab at the NIH, I established the lab, I recruited some people, I taught them, you know, technologies, and we were on our way to our first publication. I felt, okay, now it's okay to have that my second child. But that's a luxury. It's very difficult to be able to control things in that manner. But as much as possible to try and see and to be very, very aware of limitations in various grants that one needs to apply to. So, for example, the European Research Council, the ERC, the Horizon 2020 Starter Grant, has a limit of 8 years since receiving the PhD. But then they take into account if things take a maternity leave. Now, so for each child, they extend those 8 years, which is wonderful. But it's important to be aware of those limitations as well when considering, is it the right time to take a long vacation or things like that.
How about other type of career breaks? There are some people that after their PhDs or after their first postdoc decide to try other career paths. Like, for instance, I think industry would be the most common one. And later down the line, they decided maybe they do actually want to work in academia. What do you think about that? Do your chances of getting hired in academia decrease or increase if you switch careers at some point in your life?
I actually went to the industry for a year. It was after my master's degree and before my PhD, which was a very good choice because it convinced me that I should continue in an academic career path. But had I not done that, I would not have been sure later on. And I think that there are opportunities, great opportunities in industry to do even a postdoc, which can give very interesting insights on how to apply our research in an industry kind of an environment. And, you know, even if one leaves in that way to the industry, we see there's a very strong interaction between industry and academia, and both have a lot to give. So I don't think that it's a disadvantage.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Yardina. I don't think it's a disadvantage if you do, depending on the job that you take, or also in the industry part. Most of the time it's great research, you develop a great project, so it will not impact your possibilities to go back then in academia and vice versa from academia move back again on industry. I think these exchanges getting more and more common over the past few years, where we saw much more interaction between academia and industry. We are not two separate worlds. I think we are complementing each other more and more. So I don't think this should be a problem, but it's an important experience. It could be a valuable experience for setting up a translational research program that you can envision how to bring this maybe to the clinic or. Yeah, I think it can definitely be an opportunity, not a burden.
And going back to one of the things you've mentioned earlier, that when you select a postdoc, it's very important to do a bit of research about the lab that you're going to join. But I was wondering whether you consider that the PI that you will work for and the lab you're going to join, the environment, would be more important than the institution that you are going to do your postdoc at?
I think it goes side by side. I think that from my experience with my postdoc, it created a fantastic network also of colleagues outside of the lab. I had a great experience in the lab where I was. I developed my project, but even more than that, I created a network of other people that developed their own research program, and we are still in contact, we are still collaborating, we are friends. We work on different topics, but then we exchange. So I think the environment is important as much as the PI, because in that environment, you will create your network, your colleagues that will continue to work with you over your career. So I would not neglect the environment. But both has to work together. So the lab, the PI, and the environment where you will do your research. Yeah,
I completely agree. I think they go hand in hand. And it's true, the people that I met in my postdoc, you know, the colleagues that, and collaborators that I maintain up until today and hopefully far into the future, we have a similar way of thinking. You know, we've been educated in a similar way. And so when we talk, we jump straight in and understand each other immediately scientifically, which is huge. It's extremely helpful. But in the same time, your interaction with the PI is super important. You want someone who will be there, supportive. Of course, if you're looking for an academic position later on, which will be competitive, then choosing a PI that aims to open new directions and have impactful research is a very important part. Now, we rely a lot on core facilities in order to do our science as well. So that infrastructure is key to the success of the project. So making sure that the institute that you're going to has the relevant core facilities and proper help in analyzing the data if needed is something that is worth looking to as well. And that, of course, the PI is willing to invest in that in order to enhance the project.
If I'm not mistaken, you both did your PhDs in Europe and then you moved straight away to the US for your postdocs. Elisa, I think you did your postdoc at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, and Yardena was at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore.
Yes.
I don't think this sort of pattern in the career progression of many influential researchers where they do their postdoctoral fellowships in the US. Would you say that's a must if you want to be successful in academia?
No, not necessarily for me, or at least not the US necessarily. I chose the US because I had in mind this idea that I should go to the US to see a different way of doing research, be exposed to a different environment and a different culture as well. But saying that is a must for your career, otherwise you will not be able to open your lab or you will not be able to continue, that's no, because there are many good labs in Europe, many good labs in other places in the world that can give you the same opportunity, in particular if you are developing an exciting new project, a new area of research. So the most important one, again, it goes back to the topic, the PI, the environment, not necessarily the U.S. as a country, per se. Then, of course, in the U.S., there are many, many good institutions. There are many good PIs. And so maybe there it's where we see a little bit the imbalance to go towards the U.S. a little bit more.
Yeah. So, you know, in Israel, most of the PhD students go to the U.S. for their postdoc, mostly, you know, to Boston, to Harvard, or to other Ivy League universities. It's a sort of a path that is a classic one, which if someone doesn't want to take any chance, any risks, they will go that way. I have tried to convince some of my students to actually go to Europe, because like Elisa said, there are excellent, excellent institutes and PIs in Europe. And so I think they could actually take advantage of that and be a bit different from other graduate students who go to the US. On the other hand, it's true. I mean, there are many, many more options in the US, right? So it's a much larger set of options to do. And if one means to come back to Europe to open their lab, you have your whole career to develop those interactions and collaborations within Europe. But when you're your postdoc, you have a chance to make a lot of connections with American scientists, which will help in the future in writing grants and collaborating. So there is an advantage in that sense, going to the US. And of course, culturally, I think it's important to go to something different to what you're used to. It helps your self-development as well.
And moving on from where to for how long, what would, in your opinion, be the ideal length of a postdoc? I think both of you did like about 3-year long postdocs before securing a faculty position or independent funding for your research.
Yeah. 3 years is short, I think. I was just lucky to be able to find something interesting relatively quickly and focus on that for the rest of my postdoc. But I think usually postdocs can be longer and is actually maybe even an advantage to have it longer. It just depends really on what topic you decide to research. Mm-hmm. So if you decide to set up a sophisticated new mouse model, it's definitely going to take more than that. And that's fine as long as the research is deep, is well done, and culminates in several good publications, it's fine to go ahead and have even a 5 and 6 year postdoc.
Yeah, I think now it's much more common to have slightly longer postdocs because the projects are more and more complex and they need to include many different aspects in the project to be complete. So I think normally having a 5 years postdoc, it's quite common at this point. In particular, again, if you are looking to stay in academia and to develop your own research program, you will need to prove to publication, apply for funding. So it requires a bit of time to do that. So that's what normally we can expect to have as a postdoc. I think that's reasonable.
And when you say 5 years, do you mean 5 years on the same project or 5 years as postdoc? Because looking for the postdoctoral positions available at the moment, many of them seem to be only like 1 year or 2 year long, which in my opinion is not necessarily enough. And I was wondering whether you have any advice on how could one balance this with also publishing. Again, 1 year, 2 years, it's not usually enough for a good publication. So how could an early career researcher balance this?
Do you think a short postdoc or short finance? Because sometimes you put an advertisement for a postdoc and you say, I guarantee funding for 2 years. It doesn't mean that the project has to finish or be completed in 2 years. But then you also expect that the postdoc can start to develop his own project and apply for fellowships. And then, of course, if the project is going extremely well, there will be some additional grant support and the lab will definitely support the postdoc to stay longer. I definitely never hire somebody with the idea that in 2 years I'm going to kick them out of the lab because the project should finish in 2 years. That's, I think it's reasonable. But in the ad, most of the time I admit that I guarantee funding for 2 years and then we will evaluate how the project is going and also the motivation of the person that I hire might change, so we will have a discussion. But I say at least the position is guaranteed for 2 years.
Yeah. And Elisa, I agree, especially as the average time today to publish a big paper could be a whole year.
Yeah. That's when you arrive to submit the paper, then there is at least another year of revision most of the time. So that is something that we'll always take in consideration. Yeah.
And considering your question regarding how many projects a postdoc is doing, it's rare or unlikely that I have a postdoc or graduate student who does one project. And actually, we start off with one project just to get to know the lab and our way of thinking. But gradually, another project is added in order to increase the chance of success. And also, they don't move in the same rhythm, right? So there may be a project where you're waiting to get back data. And so in the meantime, you're developing something else. So definitely, I mean, people in my lab have several projects going on at the same time.
Yeah, the same. It's also safer because one project can fail or it can be a moment in which the results are not greater. I think it's actually really good and important to have at least a couple of projects that they can move together.
Yeah. And if the goal for the postdoc is to learn as many techniques as possible, then obviously the more projects, the higher chance there is to learn all of these. One has to also be careful, of course, not to take too many so that there's enough time to focus on each one of them properly. So again, it's a balance of the two.
Thank you very much. This has been brilliant advice. But before we conclude this conversation, I really want to ask you one last question. Reflecting on everything you have achieved in your career so far, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I guess I took a lot of risks, and I think that's important in science. You need to know how to take measured risks. I think I should have taken even more of a risk earlier on.
And also, I thought that to keep an open mind and not have a one path in mind, but actually take the opportunities how they come. Sometimes they don't come when you want it or in the way that you want it. And sometimes we are really fighting because we want only that path or that opportunity. And I think, yeah, we open as much as possible and actually take the opportunities whenever they come, because maybe there is something good, even something that you didn't plan that it should go in that direction.
Thank you so much for joining me today for this postdoc-focused episode of the EACR podcast. I am truly grateful to have had the opportunity to hold this conversation with the two of you. Thank you, Yardena, and thank you, Eliza.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We really hope that you enjoyed listening to Yardena and Eliza's career advice inspired by their own experiences. Thank you again, Yardena and Eliza, for being the first guests of the EACR podcast, The Cancer Researcher. And many thanks to everyone who listened. Please do us a favor and tell your friends about our podcast. And don't forget to tune in on the 5th of April for the next episode, where together with Professor Sara Zanivan, Professor Christian Frezza, and Professor Arkaitz Karasido, we will discuss the challenges of becoming an independent researcher. You can give us feedback or offer suggestions for other topics or preferred guests through our feedback form that you can find on our website at www.eacr.org/podcast. That's www.eacr.org/podcast. Also, on our website at eacr.org, you can find lots of useful information for cancer researchers, such as job opportunities, conferences, free webinars, and our Find a Collaboration tool to help you find collaborators in your own research. We're on Twitter at EACR News, Instagram at HelloEACR, and you can search for us on Facebook and LinkedIn. Thank you for listening, and please join us on the 5th of April for another episode of the Cancer Researcher podcast. Until then, take care and good luck with your experiments.